Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons here on Blog Talk Radio and KITCFM 106.5. I'm Pat Rice, your host tonight. My co-host Jason Ophir will be here in just a couple of minutes. We have a very exciting show this evening with a very special guest, Reverend Robin Marie. And I want to tell you a little bit more about Robin. Jason, are you with us?
I am. That was really weird. I connected like we normally do by hitting the Skype button on the show, and I think it hooked me up with a different show. It was really bizarre. I don't know what happened.
Wow. Another ghost in the network, Jason. But welcome, Jason Ophir, to Paranormal Horizons, my wonderful co-host, where we chat every week about something interesting.
Yes, yes. What did I miss? What did I miss in the last 30
seconds?
Well,
I was just explaining about our wonderful guest this evening, Reverend Robin Marie, and I know she's already in the queue, but I did want to, you know, talk about some of her abilities just for a couple of minutes before we get her on and just chat with you for a minute, Jason, here on Paranormal Horizons. What's going on in your world?
Well, in the past, we've talked to psychics. And we've even talked to a couple that have aided law enforcement. So I got online and I found a few notable cases where psychics have actually helped in investigations. So I wanted to share a few of those with you right now.
Please.
So we have this lady named Nancy Meyer, aided in finding a 76-year-old man. Meyer had a vision of a forest and led to police within 150 feet of the body.
Wow.
So that's, can you imagine that? You know, just picking a forest and leading police to a body? We also have,
wow.
I know, we have another one. Etta Louise Smith. Etta had visions of a missing nurse. As a result, the police found the body where Etta indicated it would be, and the police were so suspicious of her that she was arrested. She was eventually released, and she won a civil case against the police department for some monetary funds because of her arrest, but she was able to locate the body as well. A third one we have, by the name of Ann Martin, located the body of a dead paratrooper who had gone missing out of his home. She was given a map and circled the location of the body. Sure enough, the body was found where she indicated on the map. And finally, we have Philippe Durant, aided police in the search of a missing hairdresser. She eventually was to join the search with law enforcement, but the police didn't take her seriously. Eventually, though, her visions did prove to be accurate, and as a result of her visions, the body was located.
Oh, my
gosh. There you go.
There's
some notable cases of people with extraordinary abilities that were able to find deceased persons.
You know, Jason, it's true. There are people, and we have one of them that we're going to talk with here in a couple of minutes, that have really amazing abilities that, know, I'm just a normal person and I don't have those kind of abilities. And sometimes when I hear stories like that, I have to go into my skeptical place of, oh, come on, they can't do that. But then when you have cases like that that are proven over and over again, you just, you know, well, what can you say?
You know, there seems to be more to it. I mean, when somebody hands you a map and says this person is missing and you're able to locate it, there has to be some, I mean, I don't know how you would do that without some sort of ability. I think that defies, you know, logic and just randomness to be able to pick a location.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe in the future we'll have one of those types of clairvoyance or that have that ability here on our show, Paranormal Horizons. But in the meantime, Jason, I wanted to tell the audience a little bit about Robin Marie, Reverend Robin Marie, who we're going to talk with here in a few minutes. She's just such an interesting person. She is the only known person that does photo scrying, like crying but with an S. Do you know what that is, Jason?
I've heard of other forms of scrying. I haven't, because I believe, like, isn't reading tea leaves a type of scrying as well? But I haven't actually talked to anybody that scries photographs.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the tea leaves does fall into that category. But Robin Marie is able to see live animated spirits. She's able to communicate with spirits by looking at these photos and, you know, doing a real thoughtful approach to it. It's not something that and she's going to tell us about this, so I don't want to put words here that she's going to tell us, but it's quite a talent. I mean, sometimes the spirits even kind of joke around with her, so we're going to hear more about that. But also, I wanted to mention that Reverend Robin is also a holistic life coach. She's a medium. She's a parapsychologist. And what I find interesting about that, Jason, is that she takes in the scientific and the paranormal.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm big into scientific, so I like that. That's a good way to have, you know, a balance, a really sound foundation to be able to analyze information and remain logical as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's also had a lot of she's really talented. She's been in some TV, film, and stage. And, you know, I'd like to go ahead and get her on the line, and she can just tell us all about some of these wonderful things that she's done over the years.
Sounds good.
Robin, Reverend Robin Marie, welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Yes, hello, my friend.
Hi, Robin.
Hello. Thank you for staying up late. You're all the way on the East Coast and we're on the West Coast, and we're so thrilled to talk with you this evening.
This is early for me. I'm 3 o'clock, 4 a.m. in the morning at any given time, so 10 o'clock isn't too bad.
All right. I know you and I talked about that earlier today, that you sort of had a crazy schedule, and it sounds like this time of year. And is that because of the Halloween coming up, Reverend Marie, that everybody's kind of going crazy?
Yes, you do see an increase of these things. I think people are more conscious of it. And it starts around mid-September and goes through right past the beginning of November.
I see. Yeah. Well, listen, Reverend. Now, should I call you Reverend Marie or Reverend Robin?
Oh. Please, just call me Robin.
All right, right on. And I wanted to let you know, Robin, and everyone else that's listening, that about halfway through the show, this is just an hour show, we are going to do a quick commercial break. And if anybody has any questions, we do have a chat available. So if you have any questions for Robin, we can kind of, you know, feed those to her as the hour goes by. But Robin, you have actually been clairvoyant since the early age of 4.
Yes, that was my first conscious recollection of it. But my family says that it began right at birth.
Really? So, what happens when you at that young age especially, you kind of become aware that maybe you have some special or different abilities as a child. Can you share anything with us that kind of happened to you at that young age?
Well, you know, at the time, I didn't have any other children around me to make a comparison. I assumed any other children in existence were exactly the same way I was.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that I did make more of a marked meeting with spirit, I went into the house, because it happened outside on the property. I went in and I told my grandmother, who was an old world Italian Catholic lady, and you know, she believes in strega magic, and you know, this is a very common thing that's passed down in Italian families. So when I told her that I had witnessed a spirit, she said, "Oh, you saw her too?"
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we just have a different mindset. I've had a different upbringing where it was very much accepted. Since 7 years old, you know, I was given books on Casey to read because my dream state was very pronounced. That was another thing that happened very early to me, precognitive mm-hmm. dreams, and certainly remember past lives and all of that, very prophetic. And so the family really did honor that as a gift. And
right.
My grandmother had all of these gifts, as almost everybody in my family has experienced things, but me, of course, more pronounced. But she said as she passed away, she was going to leave her legacy to me. And so when I was about 13, she did pass away. And so my gifts began to develop even further.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robin, I just wanted to take a step back. When you said that you were given books to read and you said Casey, did you mean Edgar Casey?
Edgar Casey, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I've
read
all, me too. Mm-hmm. I love all of his books, and yeah, I just wanted to clarify that that was Edgar Casey. So anybody out there, if you haven't looked into
yes.
the Edgar Casey series, it's very good. And yeah, that's a whole nother show, Jason, but we'll talk about that later.
Great inspiration of mine,
yeah.
And it's someone that I relate to because things that he experienced were things that I eventually in my life was going through. And, you know, he did medical intuition. Of course, he was a medical doctor, but I am medically trained and went into mental health. And so it's been very beneficial. And now I'm able to, I prefer not to diagnose people, but I have people that come to me with ailments that sometimes doctors overlook or can't quite put their finger on. And so I'm able to tell them what I feel that it might be around. And so I'll point to a certain area. And even sometimes through remote viewing, I'm able to look inside the body and pinpoint a specific part. And so I tell people, go back to a doctor and ask them to look in this particular area or do testing for it.
Wow, that's interesting.
I was wondering, you know, we hear occasionally hear something about psychic surgery. Is that for real, or is
yes.
that just like a sleight of hand kind of thing?
You know, I really didn't buy into that, and I think you mean the physical part of it.
Yeah.
Where they put their hands into you and are able to divide your skin and do surgery with their hands. But, you know, when we're studying things like, you know, extraterrestrial life, are there other things out there that maybe we haven't experienced here on Earth yet that we're not familiar with? And maybe there's a chosen few people that are able to do that. You know, mind over matter, it's an amazing thing what we can do with the mind.
Do you think that we're all born with some level of ability? And why are some people more attuned to it? Because I'm, like, not very psychic, I don't think, but there are certain things that I do notice that I can do looking at pictures and getting impressions
mm-hmm.
from stuff like that. But I was just curious, are we all kind of brought into this world with a certain level of ability, or are some people more adept than others?
Yes.
Kind of
I believe that every human being, and even that which is not of human, has these abilities. It is another sense of ours, and we always refer to it as the sixth sense, and that it is. And, in fact, when Pat was announcing the show, she said, you know, I'm just a normal person. And I was kind of chuckling over here because I'm thinking, Pat has that gift, too. And that's why very much that you're drawn to these types of things, because you do have it. And the thing is, we can all sing. Every person can sing something. Some people we don't want to hear sing.
And
not everyone's going to be a rock star, okay? Not everyone's going to be famous and really, you know, hone in on the talent that's within that. And so someone like myself that had the encouragement since early on, I've had more decades to practice this and study it. So I'm very highly pronounced in what I can do.
That's a very good analogy, how, you know, everybody can sing. I like that because that makes perfect sense to me, because not everybody's going to be, you know, an expert at something, but everybody can do it,
right?
Like singing or talking or whatever.
It begins with intuition. And you have to agree, we're all born with intuition.
Right.
That's a very natural instinct. You know,
we
have that gut instinct that's in our stomach, especially women, you know. We come up against another woman and the fur goes up on the back of our neck.
Yeah, and you know, Robin,
you know?
I agree with you. I mean, I said, yeah, I'm a normal person. And, you know, that's kind of a sort of a category we, you know, many of us can put ourselves in. But I did, for many years, through some courses, psychic courses I took, and I have a good friend who's a teacher, and I sort of worked on my intuition ability, and that did, when I worked on it, that did turn into a little bit of psychic ability, if that's what you want to call it. So what you described as, yeah, you got to work on it, it's just like me. I've been working on computers and typing since I was 16, so I can type really fast. You know, because I've been doing it for years. So,
yeah.
But you know, Robin, let's go ahead and we really want to talk to you about the photo scrying, because it's so interesting, and we've never talked with anyone, and you're the only person that I know that does this, and I wanted to have you tell the audience exactly what that is and how you got into it.
A good friend of mine, Ron Cullick, up in Boston, actually came up with the title of it because no one else did this. It is confused for another type of ability, and that's reading photographs. What I do is I scry, you know, and Jason was mentioning that before about tea leaves and such. Now, tea leaves and you know, tarot cards or whatever, that's something that you're physically looking at and, you know, developing pictures from. It's more looking at the physicality of it. With this, the reason why we use scrying, that means that you're looking through something.
Okay.
So, like scrying through a crystal ball, that's when you would use that term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you're looking through the crystal, through the glass of it, and you begin to see visions, and you begin to see live and animated spirits walking around in it, giving you visuals, different symbols that are shown to you. And so for some reason, I can do that through photography.
Interesting. You know, Robin, when I hear you talk about it, it brought what the visual that I got in my mind was, have you both watched the Harry Potter movies where there's some scenes where they have the pictures on the wall that have the people walking around? I mean, I know that's different, but that's where my mind went.
Right.
Was like, wow, you could just see.
Yeah, people have said that to me before. So it kind of takes them in that direction of what it is that I see. But again, if you think a crystal ball, You know, mm-hmm. that's how I'm pulling things through. So I'm not looking at the furniture that's in a picture. I'm not looking at, you know, what's hanging on a wall or even the people that are in the picture. This is where even psychics don't understand what it is that I'm doing. When I say it to people, you know, other psychics will say, oh, I do the same thing. They think that I am reading the subject, that I'm reading the person in the photo, which mm-hmm. we can all do, of course. You know, but I'm not looking at you at all. And, of course, you know, I was telling Jason, I can do it from investigation photos where there's nobody in the picture.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you clarified that, because in my mind I was thinking exactly what you were saying about, you know, getting impressions, kind of like what I do when I see a house. I know there's something going on there because I get this vibe, and then it's usually confirmed by another party says, for instance, I had a friend that moved in the house, and he just sent me a picture, and it wasn't an old house, and I was like, yeah, that's haunted. That's kind of the ability that I have. But what you're saying is making a lot of sense, that you're not reading the picture, like you said.
Right, right. So, you know, the last few photos that you did send me were perfect.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because
So, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to spend on it. I apologize for that. It is a crazy time of year. But I'm glad that I got in tonight, so at least I can introduce you to some of this, that how different it is and how useful it can be. And I just challenge people out there to try it, because there has to be someone out there that can do what I do.
So how, if I wanted to learn how to do it, how would a listener or myself get started in trying to learn that ability?
Take a photo and don't look at the person in it. Just let your eyes wander, and it's just as if someone were clairvoyant in person and a clairaudient as well. I hear them. I can smell things of the area of the picture that you're showing me. So, you know, if you sent me a picture of a hospital, I could maybe smell, you know, the cleaning solution on the floor or something like that. It's just as if I'm there. So try it with photos. It might not be your thing, but I believe there has to be somebody out there that's able to turn it the way that I have. In person, of course, you know, as I was saying, if you're a clairvoyant or anything, you're going to do it physically right there or at the location.
Interesting. Hey, I just wanted to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in here on Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir, we're talking with Reverend Robin Marie from Pennsylvania, and we're talking with her about photo scrying. So thank you for tuning in this evening. And Robin, getting back to the photos, so some of the photos that we sent you, and of course, you know, you didn't really have time to really analyze them, but we sent you some pictures of some historic buildings that have claimed to be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be something, then you could look at that picture and would you then see, like, if it was haunted? Is that things that you can confirm from doing the photo scrying?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no guarantee. Now, when people go out on an investigation, you know, we shoot 200-300 pictures in a night. So
mm-hmm.
I tell teams, send me all of them. So
mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
sit there night after night, and that's why I'm up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Because I actually put on some music, and I relax, and I kind of meditate over things. And I just let the spirits go to work. If they want to come out, if they want to say something or give me a visual, I write everything down in a full report, and I give it back to either the case manager or the team leader.
I see.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work.
Well, it can be. You know, if you want to pay me by the hour, that would be dynamite, but, you know, that's not always the case. I usually do this as like a regular reading session, but, you know, I could spend a whole week on photos, you know, but I give it to you as a regular reading session. And I do it for teams all over the world, And Pat had also mentioned about police cases, and you too, Jason. And that's certainly something that it's proven very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say, Robin, that if someone were to come to you and want them to look at their pictures, they're really going to get their money's worth, because you really put a lot of time and attention onto every case.
I do. You know, I've been an investigator actually since 10 years old. I came long before Jason and Grant, which everybody's great what they're doing right now, but long before all of that came on TV. And, you know, again, I just have a family that's really into all of this, and we were probably the first family team that came together and, you know, doing investigations on the East Coast. And then I moved to California, so, you know, I did everything there for most of my life.
Wow. Oh, I didn't realize you had lived in California.
Oh, yes, Los Angeles and San Diego. And
okay.
I taught up at Fresno State very briefly. I taught some of these techniques and everything of parapsychology because, you know, now colleges are starting to pick things up, but not many had it. So this is back probably around 90, 91
mm-hmm.
that, I started reaching out to some of the colleges and just kind of giving lectures on this type of thing.
Well, that's great. Now, Jason, I'm sorry, you had a question.
Oh, something just occurred to me. I was wondering, is how you're raised, does that have a really substantial effect on how psychic you may be? Because I just realized that, you know, the reason I might not be very psychic is I was raised by PhDs, one in math and one in psychology. I think I was I think my abilities were shunted by that.
Yes, and I'm a behavioral psychologist and have worked in social services and everything, and, you know, aside from all of this, but I try to apply it to what we're doing spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so looking at the psychological part of things, you know, again, the mind is the most powerful thing, and how do we apply it? You know, apply the sciences and look at things from different angles, so we understand what it is that's happening, you know, the physical and the mental things that we're going through. And now I know as a psychologist, we're supposed to put a red flag on your file if you even hint that you have some type of psychic ability. So I have a huge red flag on mine, I'm sure.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
My mom is a notable psychology author. She's pretty well known, and it doesn't share the same last name as me. And if I mention anything paranormal, I'm nuts, and it's all nonsense, according to her.
Well, that's okay. I've come up against some of the greatest skeptics that are out there, very famous ones that write books about how ridiculous I am and everything. And you know what? I tell them, come with me. And proof is in the pudding, okay?
Yeah.
If I can't prove to you that I'm getting something, even though we don't have specific terms for things now and it's not written in stone, you know, the thing is something is happening.
Yeah, right on. Now, Robin, when we talked about you, the photo scrying and you looking at a photo, we were primarily discussing you looking at a photo of a place, but can you do this with a photo of a person that's passed on?
I don't have to see people that are deceased.
Okay.
But yes, it can happen. I don't want to exclude any photos. The most common one is that somebody will send me a picture of their granddaughter in a beautiful dance costume. Okay, I'm not sure why they think that, you know, something's going to come out of that, but that's wrong. That's just, don't even bother with that. I want to see a full shot of inside your house. Stand
mm-hmm.
as far back in the room as you can. People can be in it. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're hanging out at the table and your neighbors are over, or it's a holiday picture and everybody's eating or cleaning after the meal, those are great. When you're not really posing, that's when something happens.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, Robin, if you don't mind, we'll take a quick break here on Paranormal Horizons and KITCFM.com. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk with Reverend Robin Marie about photo scrying. Jason, your choice on the commercial tonight.
Oh, well, we'll just do a real quick one for now because the show Supernatural Gallery is going to be coming up. There's going to be a Halloween show, so I'll play that commercial.
Right on.
Supernatural Gallery.
This is Jason Ophir from Paranormal Horizons. Are you into the supernatural? Ghosts? UFOs? Demons? Well, if you are, you're going to want to make sure you give a listen to Supernatural Gallery. Supernatural Gallery is hosted by Jerry Williams, Joey Giggles, and R.L. Demery. Supernatural Gallery is at WIRN 81.3, which can be found at www.WIRN813.com. The supernatural world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. Why don't you give Supernatural Gallery a listen and see if you can find some answers?
All right, and we are back. Myself, Pat Rice, Jason Ophir, and Reverend Robin Marie. Just want to mention to everyone out there that this show is rebroadcast on Saturdays on KITCFM.com at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, if you want to catch it there. And you can always download the archive episode of this show to listen to at your convenience. All right, Robin, I had
yes.
A few more questions about the photo scrying, if that's okay with
certainly.
You. I was wondering if you had any specific kind of stories or examples of maybe, you know, a photo scrying, you know, photo that you did where you could tell us what you actually saw.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, I did take four of your photos. Two were not handed to me. Two I just kind of pulled off of your Facebooks.
Oh.
Because if something jumps out at me, I do grab that. So that's why I like a link to people's sites. You know, because as I said, there's never a guarantee that a photo is going to work right away. But some
mm-hmm.
are very quick. So it's minimal information. As I said, when I spend time with these, I write a full report, which could be pages long.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is brief, but it can be an example. Now, you know, doing an investigation at Gettysburg, I had a team down there, and they actually turned in all of their photos. Now, I didn't know where they were, and I've been to Gettysburg plenty, but, you know, I could go all of my life and still there's more places to explore through. So I didn't
yeah.
know where they were. And, you know, they were just down like a dark, dingy cellar-like area. And I could see in the distance there was a staircase, very, very black kind of picture. And the other picture they gave me was all grass,
mm-hmm.
which that could be any place. It could be in your backyard or
right.
whatever. But what they shared with me was this was from something that they did down in Gettysburg.
Okay.
Now, what I had on the grass was a woman walked by in astral form. So that's very light and airy. They're usually in a very good spiritual place when they're that way. Okay? There is
mm-hmm.
the etheric where we see them very solid, more like detailed of clothing. I could see more colors and things like that as I would see you. But this particular spirit was in astral form. And she just randomly went walking through the picture, and she said, Conestoga. And she said, there's a wagon over there. And she pointed to a certain area. Now, I did this live on a radio show, and I told the people, and they said, well, how would you know that? It's not in the picture, but there is a wagon right there. And she showed me the direction it was in.
Wow.
I
Very
also,
interesting.
You know, I hope I have a decent vocabulary, but I didn't know really what Conestoga meant, and it is, in fact, a kind of wagon that I found out since then.
Oh, I
wouldn't
have known that.
That's amazing that you came up with that word, and it's not a common word. I've never heard of it
before.
I know.
Actually, I've heard it, in Western movies and things like that, but I really didn't know the actual definition of it, and it is the name of a wagon.
Wow.
So that was there. So, you know, it's important to the spirits for some reason. They take me to places, they tell me their stories, because they want you to know. So I don't usually get all of these horrific, dramatic things that happen like we see in movies, or all these demonic cases that we hear about. And I certainly go out and work on those, you know, respectfully to the people who claim this. But there's usually something else that's going on, you know. Now, the other photo that I saw that was down this dark, dingy basement-type-looking place, the spirit said to me, it was a young man that came out, and he had been injured. He didn't look like a soldier, but I could tell, you know, he was kind of bloodied and his skin looked pretty beaten up. He said to me that the team was there, and he said the person that was the tour guide gave them misinformation. He said, I didn't kill him down here in the basement. He said, I killed him upstairs in the other room. I said, oh, well, thank you.
Thank you for that information.
Well, I told them this live on the radio show, and, you know, you hear the microphone drop because they couldn't believe it. And they said, you know what? I know, and this is the person that was the team leader. She said, I know that when we went on the tour guide was wrong. She said, I know from history books that what happened was upstairs on the second floor, and most people don't know that.
Hmm.
So you're getting validation. I mean, it's not like you're just saying these things.
Oh,
so when
yeah.
stuff like that happens, it's like, wow, this is validating, you know. Because how would you know that?
Yeah, and that's why, sure, and that's why I say, don't tell me a name. Don't put anything on the photo. Don't say, you know, this is my brother's photo. I don't want to know anything at all.
Right.
Honestly, I didn't even want to know that it went to Gettysburg. The less I know, the more it confirms what I'm giving you. And I always want to be very genuine, you know, and for you to believe in what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that is really amazing, Robin. Like you said, you don't want to know any information, and then here you know, you're looking at these photos, and then you get information like you were describing, you know, the gentleman who said, oh, no, I killed mm-hmm. him on the, you know, whatever floor. I mean, that's really amazing.
Oh, yeah, she's a historian, so she really brings that to the table with her team. So she finds out things that we would never be able to find out. She goes digging. So
mm-hmm.
she only knew this. And she didn't even correct the tour guide, you know, not to be rude, but she knew in the moment that it was incorrect.
Yeah. Now, has anybody ever brought you photos from an investigation, like it was, say, a police investigation, and they were trying to figure something out? Have you ever done anything like that?
I have almost every day of my life since 1981.
Oh, okay.
So, police, it's not always the detectives. Some know me, so they do connect with me. But many times it's the families, or you in particular might have somebody that comes across your path and you'll put us in contact with them. I do like to give the report directly to a detective, and that's because over the years, you know, we've seen people become incriminated because they've given out information. Then they want to know where you were, you know?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
do you play with it? How would you know so-and-so did this? You know, of course, I do this for thousands of miles away, so, you know, it's not always the case. But that's a factor. And the other thing is, there have actually been the perpetrators that have contacted me.
Oh my gosh, I would never would have thought of that.
Twice.
Because they want to see if you know. Is that what it is? They want to see if you know?
Yeah. And they want to see if they've kind of covered up their footsteps. And I would never want to do anything that would botch an investigation. So I always give it to the family. And I tell the family up front, you need to give me a case number and give me the number to the detective. And I give them a copy of the report as well.
Mm-hmm.
That
wow.
could be kind of scary. I mean, there's a lot of weirdos out there. And if, you know, if they're contacting you, who knows? I mean, people are capable of anything. I mean, I'd definitely be locking my doors at night and watching my back.
I know. That's a thing, too. So I like more people to know, and certainly, you know, the police to know that I'm involved in this, just in case. But, you know, that's a rare thing. But I just wanted to point that out, that I do cover myself. And working with the detectives has been wonderful. You know, I've done some high-profile cases and plenty more that I actually try to erase it. You know, people ask me sometimes to go back and tell them about some of these cases, and I let it go. I have to, you know, because I actually, you know, if it's an older case and let's say not only the victim has passed away, but sometimes the perpetrator has passed away, they step into me. I do trans-channeling. And so as spirit steps into me, I can see through my eyes or allow them to see through my eyes where they were. And they take me for a walk. So
wow.
It's exhausting. And I go running. Sometimes I am the victim and sometimes I'm the perpetrator. And I'll go running through the woods for, you know, an hour or so, falling down. You know, tearing my knees, crying hysterically, screaming. And I go through all of those emotions.
That's the trance channeling. We've talked to a few people that do that, and that just, it kind of freaks me out. I don't know, that's something that would scare me if that happened to me.
Yeah, and, you know, people use it for entertainment all the time. You know, when we're out on doing a show or, you know, you're giving a tour through a historical home and, you know, it's really something to sell a ticket to have a psychic do that in front of you. You know, but I don't advise it. And it's dangerous in the fact that it wears on you. And, you know, you can become physically ill and you feel depressed. And spirit does leave you. You know, I don't believe that they're always going to stay with you, but there's always that slight possibility that they might. You know, when you're there, it becomes a possession. So you're not just channeling and letting it go. They're possessing you. And
that's what I was,
you have to be very...
That's what I was going to ask you. We've talked to a few trans channelers before, and my question is always, I mean, do you have to worry about an evil spirit? What if it's a demon, you know, if demons exist? It just seems like if, kind of a danger, like you're saying, if you don't let go of the spirit, or what if something really evil comes through, you know?
You know what? I could go to a mall and find things that are far more evil than anything I've found on the other side. Okay? I'm not afraid of anything. So, live in Los Angeles sometimes.
Yeah, some malls are pretty bad.
No kidding, Robin. Yeah. Well said. But I can only imagine what you're saying, that when you do the transceiving, you know, when a spirit comes through and, you know, you sort of allow them, because I imagine that would be part of it, is you have to be willing to let that spirit come through your body, that could be kind of draining, and you have to be able to deal with that. Like you said, you know, running through the forest or, you know, whatever that may be, whatever point they're trying to get across.
Right.
So, yeah. Now, another thing that you do, Robin, was a holistic life coach. Now, what exactly is that?
Well, because I am a behavioral psychologist, I also have a very deep-seated root in spirituality, and that's, you know, within the Catholic Church. I have 12 years at the parochial school. I have 3 years being associated with a convent that I could have taken my vows to become a nun. That's all very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in becoming a reverend, I actually do universal life ministries, and that's so I can reach people of all different faiths.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to just, you know, minister to, and of course I'm limited within the Catholic Church to do ministries the way I do. You know, I couldn't do everything and say services. So I really wanted to incorporate that. Now, life coaching, as people know, that's like case management. You go to a therapist and you say, you know, things are not in my life right now the way that I want them to be. I don't have the right career path. What should I be doing? My kids are driving me crazy, or I can't maintain a romantic relationship. All of these elements are within our lives. And so the therapist or, you know, life coach would be able to take things apart for you step by step and help you put things in place.
Right.
Now, I do it adding the spiritual aspect of it. So it's holistic. It's all about healing. So let's heal some of the things that have happened to you in your past. It's looking outside the box. So I'm not licensed in this. I'm licensed in business, but I'm not licensed as a holistic life coach, as you could be in, you know, a psychological counselor.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. In time, they will do that. Now, I have all the same, you know, counseling background and everything, but again, putting that spiritual side, you may come to me and I'll do a tarot reading and see where things are.
Sure.
Because sometimes you're not even able to admit to yourself what's really at hand.
Right. I think that's really valid, and I'm sure you've helped just hundreds of people, Robin, because even, you know, even when you go to the doctor, you know, if let's say I'm sick and I go to the regular doctor, I think that often there is a spiritual part of that, or who knows what, you know, maybe there's something upsetting in my life or something that I believe a lot of that causes people to be sick. And
it does.
But and I'm not putting doctors down in any way, shape or form, but they're not trained to address the mental, you know, or the spiritual part of it. You know, they're trained to address the, you know, just the scientific part. But
yes.
So often,
I could give you Prozac. Yeah, I could give you Prozac and send you home, and you will feel better, and your stomach will stop hurting, and you'll stop biting your nails, and you'll stop, you know, complaining to your husband, and, you know, all of these things will fall into place because you're on Prozac.
Mm-hmm.
And not say, now, some people do need that with what I do, okay? So I don't want to rule that out. Again, I always check in with their doctors, if they tell me, you know, of course, people have mental illness, factually mental illness, and, you know, I never want to overlook that. Sometimes you don't need 12 medications. Maybe you only need 3 pills a day.
Right.
Okay, and that's what I help you with. I studied Ayurvedic medicine. I am getting my teacher's license. I'm very happy to admit that, you know, working with Deepak Chopra and his theories and looking at Far Eastern cultures and religious beliefs.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations.
What we're eating. Look at the American diet, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are experiencing, you know, many inflammations. And, you know, different things like fibromyalgia, it's very common that we hear about. Yes, we can take a pill and it goes away. Or we could actually change some of the processed foods that we're eating every day and we'll feel fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like,
you know,
the pill covers it up, but it doesn't cure it.
We're masking it. That's
right,
the
we're
thing.
Masking it.
So
yeah.
What's making you nervous? Are you in a relationship that's absolutely toxic? You can love that person, but are you supposed to be married to them?
Right.
You know, that's a good question. And so, again, coming back to the spiritual aspect of it, I would use numerology.
Mm-hmm.
And numerology, looking at your birth dates, looking at your names, looking at many different aspects, even the house that you live in, looking at the address of the house you're in. You know,
right.
We used to get along fine, but we moved to Smith Street, and we haven't gotten along since we moved into that house.
Yeah.
Is it feng shui?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we move the furniture around and maybe we'll get along much better? You know, and that's where I add that spiritual aspect to it, that a standard counselor cannot do that.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the numerology, Robin, because we are actually on November 11th. We have a numerology person. Her name is Isela Ellen coming on the show, who is and that's something that, like you said, you know, even astrology, I believe that there's just, you know, lots of things like that, and I'm probably not going to put them in quite the right perspective that you would, but I do believe that there's a lot of things out there that do affect us that, you know, maybe that little simple change, you know, might help you. Or, you know, it's not the answer to everything. And in some cases,
right.
Maybe you're in a relationship that you just shouldn't be in, you know, period, end of story. But,
right.
Yeah, that's so,
you know,
I like what you do.
Yeah, and people come to me and they'll say, you know, I've been going to therapy for 7 years with George, and I can't stand George, and we're just not getting anywhere. You know, and after 7 years, you're beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
So you have to try different things. And I try an array of things with you. That's what I like. Not just about myself, but people that do this holistically. You know, if one practice doesn't work, let's try something else. Maybe you're very religious. Maybe you want to turn back to your faith. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's healing to you. And I try to bring people to that. I have a person that, you know, stepped away from, she's actually a Catholic. She kind of started practicing Wicca and everything, and it just didn't work for her. And she chose to go back to the Catholic faith, and everything started to fall into place for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it can work the other way, too. I have plenty
yeah.
of people that turn to Wicca, you know, so I'm certainly not criticizing any religion there, but it's what works for you. And I'm accepting of everybody from all walks of life.
Yeah. And I think, too, with what you're saying, Robin, what I'm getting out of what you're saying, too, that, you know, no matter what you're going through, because everybody, you know, every listener out there, myself, you, Jason, whatever, we're all going through different things. And what I've learned in my life is trying to take care of myself. It doesn't mean that I don't care and love the other person, but you start learning these things that help you, you know, us as a person or an individual understand, you know, okay, you know, this is what I need so that I can make a good decision in my life, you know, and so that's kind of what I hear in a way that you help people, and I think that that's so commendable.
Yes, and, you know, I've worked in domestic violence, sexual assault, and all of that for many, many decades. And I went through a terrible car accident, and it took me away from that line of work. And, you know, this way I'm able to come back and blend some of these things in with it. And, of course, my psychic abilities have always been there. And using
mm-hmm.
holistics, I can apply that. I don't have to hide it anymore.
Yeah, and you know, you've been involved also in kind of changing subjects. We only have a few more minutes here on Paranormal Horizons with Reverend Robin Marie, myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. You've also been involved in several TV shows and, you know, theater and things like that. So how has the TV and the film kind of come into play with your teachings.
That's wonderful. You know, what's good about that is that all of these abilities that I say that I have, it gives me another outlet, and I can reach masses of people. So being able to come onto a radio show or a TV show, I also write for many of the paranormal shows that are on TV that you see. I either do research papers for them or, you know, I've written some of the scripts for it and, you know, try to give them, you know, information historically and such. But doing that, and of course being in film, that I can get this out to more people than I ever would have been able to. You know, if I'm just sitting at my table doing readings, which is fine. But, you know, my family has a rich background in show business, particularly in music and dance. And so I automatically was put into that. At 5 years old, I was singing, dancing, and acting and all of those things. So it's just been another facet of my life. And
sounds like you have a wonderful family, Robin. Sounds like kind of a fun Italian family, and I really appreciate you being, you know, so open with us this evening and, you know, sharing your experiences. And Jason, I've learned so much tonight, especially about the photo scrying. Yeah. It's just fascinating to me. And you know, before we sign off, Robin, I wanted to let everyone know out there, now you have a website, and real easy to remember, robinmarie.com, but everyone out there, Robin is not spelled like the regular way of R-O-B-I-N, it's R-O-B-Y-N-E, marie.com, one word.
Yes.
And that's
and
how
I'm
you
on
can...
every specular site, and you can just Google my name, and I'll come up somewhere. My main site is RevRobinMarie.com, so that gives you, you know, all these different facets of things within my life and my abilities that I can offer my services to you. That's all in there.
It's a very nice website. I mean,
thank you.
Just a good-looking website, and you know, because I've run into some people's websites look like they're back in the 80s or 90s, and yours is very nicely done. So I wanted to
well, it has
that.
Music, too.
Yeah.
So long, you know, I figure the water and everything really expresses who I am.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful website. And I wanted to close, everyone out there, Reverend Robin Marie, our very wonderful guest this evening on Paranormal Horizons. And I took this quote from your website, Robin, and this is in the area of the photo scrying, through the eyes into the spirit world is kind of how one of the descriptions that you have about photo scrying, through the eyes into the spirit world. And that I really thought that was such an interesting way to say it. And what I got out of that was that your eyes looking, you know, in, you're able to look into the spirit world. And I hope that I'm interpreting that correctly.
Absolutely. Yes. I love Lucy eyes. I have those great big eyes. And I see way too much sometimes. But, you know, I do see differently. They reflect differently. And actually my new book that's coming out, Love to Be With You, is going to go into some of the medical differences within, you know, having the psychic abilities and what's actually happening, why some people are clairvoyant and others are not.
Okay, very, very good. Well, so wonderful to talk to you, Robin. And I feel like I know how busy you are, so maybe when it's not so busy, maybe like early next year, we could have a show on Edgar Cayce and ask you possibly to be a guest, because that I would love to tell the listeners about Edgar Cayce and how he came into his psychic abilities, which was an interesting story, and then all of the books that he wrote, and there's still a foundation, you know, under his teachings to this day.
Yes, I would love to. I'd be honored.
Okay, that would, let's put that on our list, Jason, because that would be a wonderful show. Yeah, but you know, we'll, this is a busy time for you. You know, get through this time and the holidays and all of that, Robin. So, thank you again for being with us this evening.
Yeah,
thank you very much, and namaste to both of you.
Thank you,
namaste.
Robin. Namaste. All the best. All right. Good night. Good night, Robin.
Oh.
Wow, Jason, that was just fascinating.
I'd never heard of photo scrying, and you know, when I get some free time, I'm probably going to start staring at pictures now. It sounds like a really cool ability, as long as I don't start channeling things, you know, because I don't want to do that. But.
Well, I know, but and you know, we did send Robin some pictures, but she just didn't have time to really focus on them, but I kind of have a feeling, Jason, she's going to when she has a chance. And we sent her some pictures from this area in the, you know, Portland, Oregon area of some buildings that were allegedly haunted. So I'd really like to see, and I think I'll just messenger her for when she does have time, and that could be a whole nother show, of anything that she got out of some of those buildings that are supposedly haunted.
Yeah, I sent her. Now, I actually, you had sent me some pictures, but the only one that I saw, I guess I didn't scroll up, was the last one you sent me at the hotel. But I sent her a few pictures of when we were at that, the Edgefield.
Oh, yeah, right. There's the Edgefield in Troutdale.
Yeah, and so I'm really curious about the Edgefield, because we were there. I'm sure both of us had been there several times, and it's a really creepy, fascinating place.
Yeah, it is, and that's a McMinimums. For those of you that are in Oregon, everybody knows about the McMinimums lodges. They take old buildings and turn them into these really cool little hotel, motels, and bars, and great food, and all of that. So we sent her that, and then we sent her the McLaughlin House, which is in Oregon City. Now, Oregon City is the first city in Oregon because it's the end of the Oregon Trail. And the McLaughlin House was the family that sort of, you know, they landed here from where they came, from the East Coast, and then they built up Oregon. And then that original house is still in existence, and it had been moved a few times, too. It was originally built on the river, and then it got moved kind of up more on land, if you will. And that's supposedly haunted. And then there was also the Best Western Hotel called the River Bend. Is it the River Bend or the River View? Right, it's right on the river.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I didn't know that one was allegedly haunted.
Yeah, that is, and I've stayed in there a couple of times over the years. I didn't pick up anything, but you know, sometimes when you stay at a hotel, you're not really there very much anyway. You're just like going there, you know, to sleep, and so I wasn't really hanging out there. But that supposedly has like a little girl that comes, and people have reported that they left their TV off in the room, but when they came back, it was turned on and cartoons were on.
How come it's always haunted little girls, like in the movies, you know, like The Ring?
I don't know.
It's never haunted little boys. It's kind of strange.
I don't know what that's about, Jason, but maybe we can investigate that in another
I'm going to do research into that. Like, why?
Yeah, we better.
Maybe females are the ones that stay as ghosts more than men.
Yeah. Well, listen, everyone, thanks for listening here to Paranormal Horizons Blog Talk Radio, KITCFM.com. And, Jason, I don't know what we've got lined up for next week because I love surprises.
It's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
I love
big
good
surprises. Yeah, it's always fun. It's like Chris, you know, Paranormal Horizons is a lot like Christmas. You know, you just never know until you open your present.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. So, Jason, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to do the show with you. And, again, I can't thank Reverend Robin Marie for being so gracious and taking time out of her busy schedule to be on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, and one more thing, and this is so ghetto, but again, I can't end the show because there's a warning in the way that I can't even get past, so I can don't have access to the end show, but I know.
Well, I'm going to see if I can figure that part out. So
I don't know why it's doing that, but it's
yeah, weird. I know. We've had a few little glitches like that lately. There's been some changes on Blog Talk Radio and all of that, but there we go. I'm going to end the episode, and everybody,
okay.
We'll talk with you next week. Be safe.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.